Hey everyone, this is Grayson Finn. Thank you for joining me for Money Matters, a podcast about how to manage your money. In the studio today, we have a special guest joining us to discuss a variety of different topics as they relate to families and students paying for college. Please welcome Marsha Bruquette. Topics we will be discussing are things like loan terms, interest rates, payment plans, and strategies that can help with managing and paying back student debt, as well as what is the FAFSA and how can it help support your college financial needs. Marsha has worked in human resources for Condé Nast Publications for 7 years. After college, she worked as the financial aid officer at Mamaroneck for 15 years and also volunteered with several nonprofit organizations that focus on college access and college affordability. And she's currently working with a local college affordability organization and doing some private consulting. Thank you for joining me on this podcast episode today. Before we start, can you tell the audience a little bit about your role in the Mamaroneck school system and how you help families and students navigate the college enrollment process?
Sure. Thanks, Grayson, for having me today. Student awareness about college costs and financing is such an important step of becoming financially literate, and I'm so glad that you're tackling this. When I was at Mamaroneck High School as the financial aid advisor, I worked with students and families to understand the financial aid process for college and to help highlight ways to make college more affordable, including finding a financial fit with a college that is just as important as the right kind of fit as you would try to find the right academic or cultural fit. All those kind of have to come together for a student to make it a very successful college experience.
Right. Thank you for sharing that with us. All right, let's jump right into some questions. From your experience, what is the general range of what college can cost these days, and how do parents approach paying for these costs when their savings are not enough?
They range significantly. You can do things like go to a local community college and commute to college for a few years, where you're probably spending in the neighborhood locally, here probably in the neighborhood of $12,000 a year. Or you could go off to a 4-year private institution halfway around the country, and your all-in costs, the way they publish those tuition costs and their room and board, et cetera, you could be paying, I have to say, I've seen up to $100,000. Is a price tag that I did see for this year. I would say most of them are probably still in that $80,000 range for those private schools. Mm-hmm. But then there's in-state colleges or colleges that acknowledge, let's say, out-of-state colleges that will have reciprocal rights with other states, meaning there are programs next door to us in Connecticut that students can take advantage of the in-state Connecticut cost, even though it's actually in a Connecticut school, so over the state border. And then there's other private colleges that, you know, range of college cost is varied. So there's lots of different ways to tackle it. And savings, applying for financial aid, making sure that you take advantage of any other, like tuition reimbursement and even tuition remission programs, savings programs. Those are all ways to help cut the cost of college.
What are some things to think about during the college search process, and how should one factor in funding and affordability?
I think that every family needs to make sure that they are aware that every college has what's called a cost calculator and that they should be using that. Some of those cost calculators are better than others, but they effectively allow you to put in financial information about your family, as well as potentially some academic information about the student that could give you a quick read on how you might fare at that college in particular. People talk about tuition discounting, or often comes across as merit money from colleges, that you need to make sure that you're factoring into your consideration of what that college is actually going to cost you in the end. Other things to factor into your plan are, what is your total education plan? Am I just looking for a 4-year degree, or do I know I'm going on to medical school or law school, some other graduate school? Even a teaching degree the teaching profession requires a master's degree. Those are all additional costs. And I think families need to look at the total cost when you're looking at what you think is appropriate to be paying for a 4-year basic bachelor's education. Your desired profession and salaries, both short-term and long-term. Am I entering a profession that might start with very low income but has very high income potential later, or one that is a minimal professional salary, or even one that is kind of stable throughout the entire my entire career. Those are things to think about when you do that. Traveling to and from campus, think about that. We love to think about going to warmer weather, whether that's Florida, California, especially from the Northeast. Oh, I want to go where it's nice and warm. That's great. But you also have to think about not only the students' travel expenses, but also what it's going to cost for that parent to go visit them on parents' weekends or even for graduation. So those are extra travel costs that you have to kind of look at in the big scheme of things.
Right, that's really helpful. What is the difference between a FAFSA loan and any other type of loan, and how does it benefit students and their parents?
Well, you need to think about who the lender is, who the borrower is, and whether they require cosigners. So from the federal government, which your eligibility for loans from the federal government come by you completing the FAFSA, which is an application, a financial aid application. That will allow you to be a student and take out money. Some the loan terms on some of those loans are based on need, and some of them are just anyone. Elon Musk's children could qualify for these loans without having any sort of financial need. Then there are also PLUS loans through the federal government. Those are actually parent loans, and those are a different loan process, a different loan payment and finance interest rates. And then there are also private loans, and those vary tremendously. Private institutions that will allow sometimes the student, not without a cosigner, is for the most part, but parents can sign on for private debt outside of the federal loan process. Within the federal loan process for students, there are two things called, one's called a subsidized loan, and the other one's called an unsubsidized loan. And maybe I think I'll probably, a little further in the discussion, I have a feeling that that might come up a little bit later, and I can explain that then.
Do you have to pay student loans while you're still in school, or does it normally start when you graduate?
For the federal loan program, which is the one that I'm most familiar with, and it's the one that I highly recommend the most because they tend to have the most favorable repayment terms and loan interest rates, and just a little bit more favorable for a student. Those payments, if as long as you remain in school full time, and you have a full time, what's considered a full time credit load on your campus, you can defer payments until 6 months after you graduate.
Oh, nice.
So now every year you're taking out a different loan for that particular school year. So you need to keep that in mind. And also you want to keep in mind that if for some reason you need to take a break from your schooling, whether it's a health issue or some other sort of crisis that comes up, you need to make sure that you are contacting your financial aid office because that could be considered a break in your education where you might start to need to be paying your start your repayment plan a little bit earlier. So you want to make sure you understand how that is all going to be taken into consideration if something comes up in regard to that. So,
Right. What are loan terms, and how does interest factor in?
okay. Basic interest on any loan is based on the principal, which is how much you borrow. There's also origination fees, and sometimes if you're combining loans later, called consolidation fees. Depending upon the loan that you take is going to depend upon what your interest rate is. We talked a little bit about, or I mentioned the subsidized loans and the unsubsidized loans. When you prove to the federal government that you have financial need, they can give you what's called a subsidized loan. So while the loan is technically accruing interest while you're deferring those payments while you're in school, so it's adding to the principal each year. Under a subsidized loan, the federal government is paying that accruing interest while you're in school. An unsubsidized loan is when the student borrows the principal amount and the interest is accruing each year while you're in school. So, for instance, right now, current interest rates on an undergraduate federal loan is 5.5%. That changes every year. It gets determined July 1 of the academic year. So that was last year's loan, and we won't know next year's loan rate until July 1 of 2024. last year's loan rate was down to 4.99. So, every year it's going to be a little bit different. And so technically you will have a different loan each year that you're in school, even if you're consistent 4 years and do all of those things. So.
Right. Nice. Are there any other ways to help pay for college that students and their parents may qualify for? And how would they access those resources, such as other scholarships?
It is, there are lots of other ways to think about them. They are an additional project, and I know that sometimes going through the college process alone is a little overwhelming. But there's lots of other steps that you can take. Things are, number one, make sure you are applying for state funding if you qualify for need-based aid, because this New York State in particular, and every state, most states have some funding programs available. So make sure that you're taking that into consideration. Monthly payment plans are often offered by a lot of colleges, meaning they bill usually by semester or trimester, and most colleges are by semester. So you would get a bill twice a year. For families who feel that they can't handle that chunk of money all at once, but they know that they might be able to handle it throughout the year, you can break up those payments to a monthly payment plan. Might have to pay a servicing fee to enroll in that program, but that's a possible thing to look at. There are tax incentives for some people. For some people can have access to those depending upon their income and whether their financial situation allows them to. There are employer-based tuition reimbursement programs. Back in the day, when I was a far younger person than I am now, there were a lot of companies that would provide tuition reimbursement. Those are actually starting to re-emerge again, and some of the big employers are allowing to do that. Some employers are even helping with loan payments once you are employed by those companies. So keep your eyes out for hopefully more of those companies coming up. Another thing that families should think about is if they have been paying for this student to have any kind of enrichment, private music lessons, art lessons, academic tutoring, costs for additional athletic endeavors, those costs typically are now going away now that you're out of high school. That might be some extra cash in your monthly budget that could be potentially used to help pay for your college expenses, are good things. Scholarships are can be incredibly fruitful, but they are potentially a whole lot of work depending upon searching for them and also applying for them, but they can be helpful. Think about things that are think about your background in terms of a social organizations that you, your family might be a part of, civic groups, religious groups, ethnic groups, professional groups, and even if you or someone in your family has a particular medical condition, those are all possible sources to look for. I would highly recommend that students look very locally for scholarships. Sometimes those are a little more fruitful than going after the very high paying scholarships that are on a national basis. So your competition is national as opposed to more local. Keep that in mind. Make sure you take all of your AP and college earned credits with you to college campuses. Sometimes people forget your AP is senior year. Oh, heck, you don't get your scores for a month or so, or a couple of months anyway. Make sure that you get those credits transferred to your college and that they get applied to your academic load, even if it's just to provide a little cushion in terms of some of your elective. It may or may not qualify for your course requirements for a particular major or a particular curriculum, but at least make sure you get them for your extra general ed requirements that you have to have. Commuting to college is not always the most popular for some students to think about as I want to go off to college. But sometimes commuting for a year or two can save some expenses, and you can think about that. Also, try to think about maximizing your course load and minimize the number of semesters that you actually have to attend college. Could I graduate early? That happens for some students, which is great. And also, biggest recommendation is meet with your academic advisor early and often. Make sure you are 100% on track for graduating on time, if not early, and make sure that you're in line to get those college classes that are sometimes challenging to get on your curriculum, on your schedule. Make sure that you get them in the semester that you need them in order to be the prerequisite for the next courses that you have to take. Those are kind of a lot of the big ones. There were a lot there, but hopefully those are good guidance for things to
Yeah,
think
those are
about.
all super helpful. Yeah, thank you. Are there any other ways to reduce the cost of college? And what are they?
Yes, I think about some. I would say that they're not necessarily going to be huge price tag items. It's not going to take your tuition from, $70,000 down to $30,000. But, in my opinion, every little bit helps. Health insurance. All colleges now charge students to have health insurance. Most of them are very good at alerting the incoming students that if you have health care through your family, you can decline their health care insurance through the college, and that gets deducted from your bill. That's one thing. Be aware of your meal plan costs and your room choices. Those are all very can be done. Well, maybe the room is on an annual basis, but the meal plans can be changed semester by semester. I know that you all like to sleep, especially when you're no longer in your parents' household, and you all think that sleeping in is great. So if you have that 8 a.m. class, you might not be going over to the dining room for your breakfast before you go off to your first class. You might get a cup of coffee in your room and grab a banana or a bar and go and start your classes and never actually get there. So why pay for that meal? That's what I mean by being aware of your schedule and all of those things. There are also a number of positions. In addition to potentially being employed on campus, you do not have to have what's technically considered a work study job. There are usually a lot of jobs on and around college campuses, and they're usually very flexible, knowing that they're looking to employ students who have weird schedules or different schedules, not standardized schedules. They usually can employ them. But there are also on many college campuses positions that actually pay you some decent money. You could potentially be an RA, probably not going to happen freshman year, might not even happen sophomore year, depends on your ca college campus. When I was back in the day, when I was an RA, I got all of my room and half of my meal plan paid for. Pretty good money. Tour guides. Some colleges pay dearly for tour guides if that's your thing and you think that you could provide some assistance in incoming students and getting them to know your college campus. That could be ideal. Student government. Believe it or not, some college campuses want students to engage in their college gov their student government process, and they'll pay you a stipend for that. And there are other stipend type positions. Sometimes campus newspapers and campus radio, again, they're looking for people to make sure that they're engaged in that process to keep them vibrant. Therefore, they will give them a stipend, assuming that, you could be out doing something else, but why don't you make sure you come over here and do this with us? So those are all helpful things to keep in mind.
Last question, how much debt is the right amount of debt to take on as a student and or a family member who has a kid in college?
Well, I'll answer it from a student perspective. A family from where I sit, a family has to do some really soul searching about how much debt they think it is right to take on for their student. Some families will say none, some families will say a lot, and there's a lot of in between. Sometimes that's also a value judgment about how much they think a college education is worth. As far as student debt, the general guideline is, and it always has been, and I think it's a safe one. For a student, do not take on any more debt than a third of your first year's salary. That's usually a pretty safe guideline.
Right, that's super helpful. Thank you so much for joining us. I think the information you have given the audience today will be a huge help to students getting ready pre to prepare for the college process. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Grayson. It was a pleasure to be here.
I'm Grayson Finn. Join me on the next episode of Money Matters for more tips and information on how to manage your money.